way to do that through Push Pay. We've been very, very thankful to the Lord that through this challenging season, God has continued to bless the church and meet the needs and meet the needs here and also meet the needs of what we call our Harvest Project. In fact, we're getting very, very close to meeting our yearly goal of $45,000. I think we're close to $42,000 right now. Thank the Lord for that. Many wonderful ministries and many wonderful missionaries,
yes,
who are supported through the Harvest Project. If we can, there we go. Okay, fantastic. There's some of the ministries, and here's some of our missionaries, including our dear brother Doug Easterday, who's here today to share the word, which we're excited to hear from him, and welcome he and Donna today. We're happy they're here. So we're going to pray, and as we pray this morning, there are so many right now who are struggling with sickness and illnesses and challenges, and I want to mention just a few of them as we pray this morning together. My dear brother Chad, who just had an open heart surgery kind of thing this past week and a collapsed lung. We sure love you, Chad. We're praying for you for full restoration. Mm-hmm. For Doug and Beth that are walking right now in a very difficult time with Doug's mom, just praying for wisdom. For Landon, young Landon, who has one of our young people who's come down with COVID, and he just really needs our prayers. For James, that God would touch James and bring healing to him. And for Lifeline, one of our church plants that has, they're doing online services today because of COVID and some folks sick in their congregation. So let's pray. We're going to pray over today's offering and pray for these needs. Father, thank you. We trust you.
Yes.
We love you. We look to you. Lord, you're our healer. You're our provider. You're our deliverer. You're our everything. And you're the rock that we place our lives upon, the rock that can never be shaken. And Lord, touch Chad, bring healing to his body, touch Doug and Beth, give them wisdom, touch Landon, Lord, strengthen and heal him completely, touch James, Lord, restore him and heal him, and be with our Lifeline daughter church today, God, and just bring healing to those that have been affected, God. Touch them in Jesus' name, and Lord, bless the gift and the giver today as we give generously into your kingdom. May it make a difference in many hearts and lives here locally and around the world for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Wednesday nights, we've been having a good time. Say something about that,
yes,
honey.
Yes, it's so exciting. For those of you who can come on Wednesday nights, you're so welcome. And we still have our meal.
Yep.
That we do at 6:00, and we make that very safe for us, and so nice to be together. I think this Sunday, Jen Dupin is going to be speaking.
This Wednesday, yeah.
This Wednesday,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's right, I think so.
No, your next Wednesday. Mona Hoyle is going to be speaking on Wednesday. Sorry, folks. Anyway, that's going to be exciting, and we're really looking forward to that. It's been a great time of ministry. So if you're available, come on out.
Yep.
We'd love to see you.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Nightlight is this week. We can't wait. It's going to be different. It's going to be very different. It's going to be a drive-through.
That's right.
Drive-through nightlight. Mm-hmm. So as people drive through, we're going to bless them. We're going to pray over them. We're going to just show them the love of Jesus.
That's right.
It's all about shining a light in the midst of what can be one of the darkest seasons, just letting Jesus be seen in the midst of the season. So, by the way, as you leave today, there's some flyers on the back table. Please grab a packet. Give them out to your neighbors and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to just loving people. It's going to be great Friday night.
Yes.
So, and see Janine if you can help us out. We need some more folks just to be a part of the team. And then last night was our big youth night. And anybody want to guess how many young people we had out last night? It was an amazing turnout. 42 last night for our youth gathering. Isn't that awesome? Give God praise for that.
We had a big bonfire.
So, yeah, they had a big bonfire and did a lot of cool things. And they had one of the young people was the DJ, and it was just a neat night. And now they're coming up. They're going to have the retro movie night on November 21st, 6 to 8 here. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And they're showing one of our favorite movies, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride,
it's going to be fun. So
you
want to come and be a part of that. Hey, just a little bit of humor as we get ready for the word this morning. There's a restaurant in Austin, Texas. Been putting up some fun signs. And just thought I'd show you one. When this virus is over, I still want some of y'all to stay away from me. Now, not me. I want you to come. I want to be close to you.
Right.
So please understand, that is not about any of our New Song people, because we love our New Song family.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you understand the sentiment there, I'm sure. There probably are some out there. Anyway, we love you guys. We love you absolutely. We're excited today to welcome Doug and Donna Easterday. We haven't had too many special guests through this season, and what a blessing to have our dear, dear friends with us this morning. And I can't wait for them to share the word with you today. You're going to be richly blessed. Mm-hmm. They're part of our Harvest Project. They're part of our family, and we love them dearly. Would you give them a good new song welcome? And those of you who are at home, I know you're excited too. God bless you all. Thank you, Doug.
Always helps. Well, I bring you greetings from my son, Daniel. He's considers this his Louisville home, so he's doing well. I'm really glad to be here. Anybody tired of hearing the word unprecedented? You want the most unprecedented thing about this unprecedented season? Is how many times I use the word unprecedented. but it is a very unique time. And it's a time where you're like, wow, how do I even think? Anybody been there? Like, how do I respond? You know, my life, because I'm on the road half the time, just came to a halt in February. I mean, and I've been home most I've ever been in the last 45 years. And it's way different. Not bad, not good, just different. And, you know, we approach this whole COVID thing and all the situations, and it's like, oh, man, we've never faced anything like this before. Well, that's not true. The media is really the one that has made this to be unique and unprecedented. The Ecclesiastes tell us there's nothing new under the sun. This is not that alarming if we listen to what the Word of God says rather than other sources. If you get your sense of peace from any place else than God, you have the wrong source. Amen? Well, I'm going to look at a scripture this morning that we've all known, but I just like to have us contemplate and think about what it's suggesting. It's Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. You at home, go get your Bible and turn to it. At least dig out your phone, and let's read this together. So it's on the screen, so let's all read it out loud. Can we do this? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Three things were to do: act, love, and walk. Act, love, and walk. Those are all things we have to do something about. You cannot act passively. You cannot love passively. You have to do something to walk. These are all activity-requested things that God is asking us. And so we say, what do we do during these days? He says, he's shown you, O man, or mortal. What should we do? What is required of you? Isn't it good the Bible tells us in these days? It tells us what is required of you and I. First of all is to act justly. Remember, it says act. That means to move, to put into action, to put into motion. You have to do something. We cannot act justly in your mind. You can't act justly by contemplating about it. You cannot have correction of injustice just by wishing it were different. It requires something in our part to act. It says to act justly. Do you want justice? What is justice? Well, it's honest, it's according to truth, impartiality, equity, and integrity. Those are the words that we would use as synonyms for the word justly. But I want to suggest today that you and I really don't want justice for me, for ourselves. Now, it's okay to have it somebody else. I mean, they're getting what they deserve. But I'm not so sure we want it. I live in Oregon, and I was driving down I-5. It's our big interstate, north and south. And I was driving down on the way to Portland, and I had my cruise set at 72. Speed limit in our interstate is 65, but I had it at 70. Because, you know, you can justify that. I mean, they give you 5 miles, and then 2 miles extra over the five. Come on. Anybody ever justify? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. We've all done it. And I'm driving down the road, you know, just cruising along. And then there's the man with his gun and his car between the two lanes of the interstate, his gun on me. And I knew I didn't want justice. Because I deserve the ticket. That's justice. I want to make this statement. Please hear it. You cannot pray, hope, and want justice for others and for you're willing to have it for yourself. It's really a challenging statement. Let's do it again. You cannot hope. You cannot pray. You not desire justice for someone else until you're willing to have it for yourself. Oh, I don't know about you, that kind of just makes me sit up and pay attention. Do you want justice? See, we often think that justice is fairness. I'm so troubled by how many parents get entrapped in the fairness for their children. And we have subtly said we want things to be fair. Life is not going to be fair. Anybody notice that? I don't know why I was doing this morning, but I was just on my phone listening to doing something, and it had listed the 50 most wealthy people in the world. And so I just wanted to know who they were. So it listed them, actually 48 to 1. And I went through all of them. And some of the stuff they've made their money at, we wouldn't appreciate. And it's amazing how wealthy some of these people are. It's not fair. They haven't done anything. They haven't worked any harder than you or I. Most of them are not any smarter than you or I. There's two people that own Chanel. Two of them on the top 50. How many billions, you know, 30 billion each? From perfume. Now that kind of stinks. Oh, supposed to have been funny, obviously it wasn't. See, we are not wanting to be things to be fair. If you get caught up as a parent and hoping, well, that's not fair, you're right, it's not. See, I want to suggest as an opinion, and you might not agree with me, but the desire for fairness is the root of communism. Think about that. Because everything should be equal. That's what communism, we don't anybody have more, anybody less, everything, you know, but and just someone else controls it. But see, our desire for justice, I think often we say we want it. I don't think we do. I don't want it for me very much, very often. Now, I want things to be fair. No, I don't. Because if it were fair, I probably wouldn't get much. Be honest with yourself. But it says for us to act justly. So you are going to act with honesty, according to truth, impartiality, equity, and integrity. Now that is what we can act upon, to act justly. Secondly, it says to love mercy. Oh, I love mercy for me. But I'm not always loving it for you. When I was preparing this, God said you can never, ever pray for mercy, or excuse me, for justice until you first prayed for mercy. Where I live in the state of Oregon, our governor, her name is Kate Brown. I'm not her fan. She has made some decisions that are contrary to my values and priorities. And the Lord said, have you ever prayed for mercy for Kate Brown? Nope. And I don't want to. Anybody there with me, to be honest enough? Have you ever prayed for mercy for Joe Biden? Or whatever, or maybe Donald Trump, whoever is your opposite person. See, we want mercy for ourselves, but we cannot have mercy until we pray it for others. I am really challenged by this. Some years ago, Lauren Cunningham, who was the founder of Youth of the Mission, was wanting to buy a property in the island of Kona in Hawaii. And some people were on the property and they were being evicted, but the eviction process was very slow because they were, you know, hanging up for their rights and you can't make us leave. And they were witches and warlocks and would call openly on the enemy. And so they went in there and were trying to encourage these people to leave because they wanted to buy this property. And they told them in no uncertain terms what they could do with themselves, which was not appropriate for me to repeat what they said. And so Lauren and the leaders, they went back to pray, and God says, you cannot pray for anything to happen until you prayed for mercy for those people. So for 30 days in a row, God required them to pray for mercy for that whole group of a coven, of a witches and warlocks group that were committed to anti-God things. And they prayed every day for mercy. Day 31, the leader was out hang gliding. Weird wind came. His hang glider hit the side of the volcano and he was killed. And within 2 weeks, they had the property. We cannot pray for justice until we prayed for mercy. I want to challenge you. Who is it that really is, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just confessing here. Nancy Pelosi is one of my thorn in my flesh, and that's probably mildly. And God says, you prayed for mercy? And so much of the thing that is happening these days is so ungodly, even among Christian people, of how we talk and respond to people that we disagree with. It's okay to stand for values, but it's not okay to act ungodly. I love mercy for me. And I love mercy for most of you if you do what I think you should do. But when you don't, then I want justice. And God say, no, I want you to act justly, to love mercy for all. Do you love it when someone who is different than you actually gets mercy? See, when the Bible says here in the scripture, it's on the screen, it says love mercy. It doesn't give any qualifications. It doesn't put any parameters. You love mercy when, or love mercy if, or love mercy upon. It just says love mercy. Some years ago, with my first wife who passed away, she would keep the checkbook because I was gone quite a bit. It just was more convenient to have it in her purse. And that's the back in the days we actually wrote checks. Remember those? And she's her, one of her many, many skills. Math was not on that list. And so when the bank statement would come, I would reconcile it. And when that letter came in the mail, we'd both groan. Because it was not a highlight time in our marriage. It was one of these tense, from both of us. So I'd sit down and reconcile. And I would say, Joyce. And she'd say, oh, now what? What is this? When you have $600 and you spend $50, $400 as a balance is not reasonable. Do you see what you've done? And so I'm in the midst of this. This went on for, I'm embarrassed to say, a number of years. Now I'm reconciling in my great mathematical wizardry. And I'm balancing the checkbook. The Lord speaks to me and says, love covers. Even if it's sin. Now, bad math is not sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. That's 1 Peter 4:8. Are you willing for love to cover mercifully even people's sin? Lord said so. So in that situation with Joyce, I just balanced it, never ever again brought up a mistake. I just corrected it, and she was much happier. I was much happier. And because love covered. What does love cover? Love covers other drivers. Love covers political people that are just wrong. Love covers. Mercy for all. Do you believe in that? Well, sometimes. But this particular time of year, last night we got here. Last week we were up in Wisconsin visiting. Donna has four brothers, and the first time all five siblings have been together for a number of years. And I was able to kind of put that together for them. And so we had such a great time. And anyway, so we were there. And we flew in last night or late afternoon and turned the TV on, and, you know, some political ads came. And I says, well, at least we get some new ones. We have variety. I didn't know who some of these candidates or what they were saying, but at least I have didn't have to listen to the same ones we have in Oregon. But it's challenging for all of us just to keep our spirit and our attitude right. What does the Lord require of you? He doesn't say when things are good. What is required of you in these times? To act justly, to love mercy. And now let's move to walk humbly with your God. Now, I want to observe it says with your God. To walk humbly with your God. And I think probably most of us have heard the definition of humility. I'll give it to you in case you haven't. It says, humility is the will to be known for who and what I really am. The will to be known for who and what I really am. And we have often mistaken humility for things of negativity, especially about ourselves. Putting yourself down is not humility. If it's true, you can declare it. If someone comes to me and say, well, Doug, are you tall? It's not humble to say, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, oh, pardon me, please. I'm just not short, pardon me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is not being humble. That's being stupid. Because if you're tall, it's not arrogant to say you're tall. Or if you're a woman, it's not arrogant to say I'm a woman, okay? It's true. And if I say, hey, do you play the guitar? And you do play the guitar, you say, well, not really. I kind of strum once in a while. That's not being humble. It's actually false humility. And another word for false humility is the P word. What? Pride. So let's make sure we're not looking at false humility or pride. It's okay to declare positive things about yourself. When I first started pastoring, someone would come up and they would tell me they were blessed by what I shared. I'd try to convince them not to be blessed. I actually used the wrong tense of that verb and that scripture. You know, I didn't read exactly right. And I was telling them all the things that were wrong. I probably had bad breath too. Finally, I had a great breakthrough. Someone said, you know, Pastor, I really appreciated what you shared. And I said, well, thank you. Can you accept positive things about yourself? That actually is an evidence of humility, not pride. All right, so let's go now to what is humility. The opposite of humility is pride. And I want to talk about one aspect of pride this morning. That is selfishness. A friend of mine, John Dawson, who was a former president of YWAM, wrote a book called Taking Our Cities for God. And his basic premise in this book is when you go into a city that you're going to do ministry, instead of just going doing it, you pray and ask God, what is the enemy? What's the ruling spirits? What has the enemy successfully done in this area? You pray against that, and then you go. I thought, what a great principle. So then I said, well, let's go a little bit broader scope. What's the ruling spirit over the United States? I submit to you what the Lord said to me. Selfishness. We are, my friends, the most selfish nation on earth. Because I travel quite a bit internationally. I can tell you many other countries laugh at us of the arrogant stupidity. You spill hot coffee on your lap and you get rewarded because someone who gave it to you shouldn't have done that. That is just ridiculous. We have been taught to be selfish. You deserve a break today. No, you don't. The whole advertising industry is based upon selfishness. They show this hamburger on your TV screen, and it looks so yummy and juicy. You want to bite your TV screen. It's trying to convince you what I want. But selfishness, my friend, is what really is the cause. It's the number one destroyer of marriage. Every argument, there's selfishness in it. I want what I want. I don't want what you want. Me first. Me first. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly for yourself and others. To love mercy for them, then me, and to walk with the lack or the absence of selfishness. I believe that if we would really get on top of selfishness, our nation would become a Christian nation again. I want to challenge you to get things in practice on a daily basis that deal with your selfishness. I happen to make the coffee at our home, and I do it every morning, and I always make Donna's first on purpose. I feel like it's just required because it deals. Even if she's still in bed, I'll make hers first. Put things into practice. Do things that deal with me first attitudes. So we are walking. See, the walking is something that's consistent, something you have to continue to do. If I'm going to walk to the door, I can't take one step. I have to make many steps to walk humbly with your God. And God resists the proud, and he gives grace. Now, this word I just gave is a little bit of a spanking for me. So Grandpa has come to town and maybe gave a little spanking. Well, okay, here's the hug. These are not major adjustments. These are small adjustments that make big differences. None of us have to, you know, change everything. But those small adjustments, they produce such amazing, great results. So don't go and say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, okay, but small adjustments produce major changes. Do you know that when they shoot a rocket to the moon, they adjust the trajectory of that rocket every 6 minutes? Every 6 minutes, they have to keep correcting. Otherwise, it might be several thousand miles away from the moon. So let's make adjustments. Could you just close your eyes for a moment, please, and pray with me? And let's just ask the Lord and give him an opportunity to make this applicable. Do you love mercy for others? Who is it that God is putting on your heart right now that you need to pray for today for mercy? A political candidate that you would disagree with? God loves their soul a whole lot more than their politics. Are you wanting justice for yourself? And what is it with selfishness that God is saying, okay, I want you to do it this differently? Put into practice a humble, selfless activity that you choose to do on a regular basis that we can walk out the scripture that says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Lord, I ask you'd make this applicable and real, that we would receive your endorsement as well as your adjustments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, can you thank Doug for a good word this morning? It was a great word for us today. And those of you that are joining us, I know you were blessed too. So let's all stand and we'll pray as we head out today. May this week be a really blessed week for you. Please know we are here to love and serve and help you in any way possible. I know these are challenging days. Please know this is a family that truly cares, and we will help you however we possibly can. So please don't hesitate to let us be a part in blessing you and helping you and walking with you in these days. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, let your word settle deeply in our hearts. And may we, just as Doug challenged us, make the adjustments that will make a difference. Because we want to do, God, we want to act justly. We want to love mercy. We want to walk humbly with you. We worship you and praise you today. Go with us, and may our lives count for your glory. May your face shine upon us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise again this morning? God bless you. Thanks for coming.